This is episode 181 on October 13th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. How are you doing, man? How you doing?
I am hanging in there, Joe. How about you?
I'm actually doing pretty good. I've had an interesting week, but I'm excited about some things to come. But let's start with you. What you been up to?
Well, I did all those trips I talked about on the last episode.
Yeah.
Last Friday I managed to paddle my kayak into Canada from Ohio, which was pretty, I don't know if fun's the right word. It's kind of like that trip I did back in the spring where I paddled 50 miles down a river in Michigan in one day.
Yeah.
It was cool, and it was something that I was happy to be able to say that I accomplished, but I don't know if it was fun per se.
Oh, right? No.
And this was the same kind of deal. Parts of it were fun. Like when we started out, you know, it was really crazy because I had to take a ferry, you know, with my car to get over to the island where we were starting from. And while I was on the ferry, I was noticing that Lake Erie was very calm and there wasn't really much wind. And I was like, well, I mean, I guess that's fine, but it's really honestly kind of boring. But then when I got on the lake in my kayak, it was like absolute chaos.
Oh, man.
And it was really actually pretty fun. And then as we got closer to the island that's in Canada, like it kind of calmed down a bit. And then as I was approaching the island, I was kind of headed towards this large dock. And there was this very large ferry boat that I didn't know was also headed for that large dock. So I see this ferry boat coming and I'm like, man, that thing is headed like straight for me. So I'm like really paddling as hard as I can. And, you know, at this point I've paddled 10 miles, so I'm not like, you know, super fresh, but I'm paddling as hard as I can. And it just seemed like no matter how much I moved, this ferry boat was continuing to adjust to where it was just headed directly at me. And I was just what in the world? And then finally I realized, oh man, it's going to the same place as I am. And then luckily I beat it. So,
oh wow.
That turned out good. And then my friends that were with me were like, holy crap, we didn't know if you were going to beat that ferry. And I was like, yeah, that was quite frightening.
Wait, did they dock at the same dock you were at?
They did, but they were ahead of me because they were sailing their kayaks. So they probably beat me by about 15 minutes or so.
Oh, okay. And what about the ferry? Did they have to like pick a different dock?
No, we landed on a beach, the beach was next. It was next to like this large like dock kind of area where people get on and off the ferry. But it was a huge, huge ferry, like big enough to carry tractor trailers on it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no stopping on a dime with those things.
No. And it was plowing through the water. So it just had this like rolling whitewater wave in front of it that it was just like pushing along, and it was really quite terrifying.
I believe that.
So that was cool. You know, we got on the island and we had to go to this payphone and call the Canadian customs, and you know, basically they just asked us mostly just questions like information that's in our passports. Uh-huh. It was actually kind of disappointing because I was hoping like we'd go in like a little office or something, like some kind of, you know, border patrol or customs or something, that they'd stamp the passport, because it's been like a really long time since I've gotten a stamp in my passport.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. And, you know, once we gave them the information, it was like pretty chill. They were just like, all right, have fun. Like they didn't ask like, why are you here? Or
yes.
How long are you staying or anything like that? And I figured, you know, they probably think, well, you're on an island in the middle of the Lake Erie. Like, how much trouble can you possibly cause?
Yeah. I was wondering if they're going to have questions like, did you bring fruit? Did you bring alcohol? You know, typical stuff like that.
Yeah, no, they really honestly didn't ask us like anything like that. And then after that, we walked about a half mile down the road to a vineyard, and we shared a bottle of Riesling and had some lunch there. And that was actually really good. We all got pulled pork sandwiches because most of the food there you cook yourself. So okay. They have like an outdoor like barbecue area, but we were like tired and we're not cooking. So we just got pulled pork because they make that for you. In any case, it was very pleasant. We hung out for like an hour and a half or so and then paddled back.
Oh, wow. So you didn't even stay overnight.
Oh, no. It's just a day trip. So like, let's see. I got on the water at about 9:30 probably, and was off the water by 4:00.
Oh, wow. So yeah, that's a long day.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's fine. It literally only took us like slightly more than 2 hours to paddle over, which is like epically fast to paddle 10 miles of open water on a huge lake. And then, I don't know, it took me like 2.5 or so to get back.
Okay. So has the leaves started changing up there?
Like here in Ohio?
Well, both in there and in Canada.
The island was not really heavily forested.
Oh, okay.
It's a large island, but a lot of it's like farms and vineyards and stuff like that. So I don't know, but I mean, I would imagine if there were trees, they probably are changing and it's starting here.
Okay. Like in my mind's eye, I was picturing you were, you know, getting to this island that was like had wood line up to the shore or something like that. And yeah, I don't know.
No, unfortunately, it's not like that at all. There's other the islands that are technically part of Ohio are kind of like that.
Okay.
But not that island in Canada. But it was a good experience. It was really cool. I took, you know, just some pictures just to kind of document the trip, like when we were on the island, but I really didn't do a whole lot like while we were kayaking.
Right.
And I didn't really even do any video. Like I mentioned, I think Mark asked me if I had a GoPro or whatever in the last episode. And I did bring my action camera, but I really didn't use it. So right. I don't really have any video to share. But then after I came home from that trip, then it was basically unpack all the kayaking gear and pack all the camping gear. And the next day, my wife and son and I went down to southeastern Ohio to an area called Hocking Hills, which is just an unbelievably beautiful part of the state. It's honestly, you'd be hard pressed to find anyone in the state of Ohio that would argue that there is anywhere in the state more beautiful than the Hocking Hills. Nice. So we went down there and camped and just did like some hikes and looked at waterfalls, and that's pretty much all we did, to be honest with you. So that was fun. The only thing that stinks is that I'm guessing maybe the combination of all that kayaking and then sleeping on the ground in a tent has aggravated my back. So I've been dealing with a back injury of sorts this past week. In fact, the pain was so bad on Tuesday, I ended up taking the day off work.
Oh, man.
And I stayed home and laid on the floor like the whole day.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sucks. But
I'm working through it. I'm going to like a chiropractor or physical therapy kind of place and going through some very excruciating stretching and whatnot to kind of work this all out. And it's getting a little bit better.
Well, it seems like it was, what, a year ago you were having the same problem.
Yeah, actually, just this past spring, I was having some pretty crazy issues with my lower back. And I think, you know, I think what it is for me, it's like just this chronic thing where I just always need to, like, yes, keep up on it. And yes, and I didn't, you know, it was kind of like once the pain went away completely, then I was just like, ah, whatever. I don't feel
back
stretching
to your usual self.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm an active person. So I suppose I just need to stay on top of it now.
Yeah.
So with all of that distracting me, I kind of slacked on the Facebook group and Instagram and all that fun stuff. So I need to kind of get back into the swing of things here.
Yeah, we missed you. Well, that's cool. Yeah, it's funny, you know, I had, so not particularly iPhone stuff, but I had a couple different families inquire about having pictures taken. You know, it's like, and they didn't even know I got a new camera, both of them. And so I was like, huh. I was like, okay. I had one family, they say, yeah, we need to do some family portraits. And he goes, I'm going to go on B&H and get a backdrop. I'm like, okay. He's going to buy the backdrop himself and he just needs somebody to take the pictures. I'm like, I'll do it.
And cool.
Then, yeah. And then I had another family say, yeah, their son's going to be turning one soon. And so they want to do 1 year photos. And so I said, I've got that down. I can do that because, you know, I've got practice with 4 kids. I've found myself taking more and more photos of children. So I said, don't worry, I'll take care of that. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah.
Right on. So I know I just talked a whole bunch, but what you're saying just reminds me of something that happened today.
Oh, cool.
If you don't mind. So it was like last week or something, my son had like pictures at daycare, you know, like twice a year, you know, they bring in a photographer with a little, like a backdrop, you know, and they do, it's like school pictures.
Yeah.
Except it's at daycare. So in any case, the pictures came in today. And the deal is like you take the pictures and then there's different packages or whatever. So like if you want one of the lesser packages, you just keep whatever that package is and you bring the rest of the pictures back.
Or interesting.
You know, or if you're keeping them all, then you got to pay for them all, whatever. Right. So normally the pictures are really great. And we just end up keeping them all because, you know, we want some.
Yeah,
we give
not?
Some to my parents and my wife's parents and all that stuff.
Sure.
Well, this time, like, we were really excited to get these pictures because it's been a year since we got any. And they are terrible.
Oh, no.
No offense to my boy, but his expressions in the pictures are really not that great. And then to top it off, the picture that has like the I don't know, like the fanciest background, it's kind of like this fall foliage scene, and then there's like a wagon for a prop, so it kind of looks like he's walking down this like gravel road with fall foliage and he's pulling a wagon.
Yeah.
The backdrop doesn't even cover the entire frame. You can see part of the classroom at the edge of the picture.
They didn't crop it?
No. And it's like completely distracting. Like I could see that maybe some people wouldn't notice, but like I noticed it in like a nanosecond. And I was like, this is horrible. And then like his headshot, his head is like so tilted that like if you put it in a frame, if you put the picture in a frame, I think the frame would cover like part of his head. It's, they're terrible. So like tomorrow I'm going to take the whole package back to school. We're not going to buy any of the pictures, and I'm hoping this probably won't happen, but I'm hoping that they'll be like, why didn't you buy any of these pictures? And then I'll be like, well, I mean, look at them. They're terrible.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll offer me a reshoot. I highly, highly doubt that. But maybe. And then I told my wife tonight, I said, you know, we'll just go out like sometime over the next week or two here on the weekend. We'll go to like just some nice park, maybe in Cuyahoga Valley National Park or something, and find, you know, a nice fall foliage scene and dress him up in nice clothes, and I'll just take the pictures.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say, don't you know a photographer?
But yeah. You know, every now and then it's nice having someone do it for you.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah, we have friends that we would trade off taking pictures, and so he took pictures of me and the family, and then I took pictures of him and his family, and it's nice to be able to have that type of an arrangement. But yeah, that's a bummer that they.
Yeah,
that they, is really this the same people that did it last time?
Yeah. I'm not going to name the company.
No, you don't have to.
Yeah, it rhymes with strife much. It's probably the same company that does every school photos everywhere.
They must have had a newbie come in and do it.
Yeah, they were just not at all good.
Oh, yeah, that's a bummer. I know that, you know, I'm critical of my own photos, but, you know, when it's that bad, it's like, it's hard not to be critical. And to be honest, you know, let's just say it was just your son's portraits that didn't turn out, you know, I would have said, come on in, we'll redo his. And then you can buy the packages, whichever package you want, or even we'll throw in like an 8x10 or something like that. But if it was the entire group, then they got to be like thinking, okay, do we need to have more training or? You know, or something, you know, because it's, you know, that's pretty important. Those types of things, having composition, the small details, you know, those are all important, especially keeping things straight. And yeah, that's crazy.
Well, I'll get it done.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing these shoots because number one, I get to use my new camera, and then two, I want to, you know, just be able to help them out and be able to hopefully, you know, get them some nice images. So I'm looking forward to it. And it's nice that they're buying the backdrop. And it's like, oh, are you just going to buy it and then keep it, or are you going to sell it?
So, well, that's pretty cool. Well, I hope it all works out well for you.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Well, let's go ahead and transition into... helps if I have this ready. Let's go ahead and transition into the news.
News team, assemble!
All right. So I saw something today, and this is sort of a workaround. You know, we talk about iPhone photography, but in general, we're very much smartphone photography type podcasts. It's just we called ourselves iPhone photography because we had iPhones. But I saw an article that kind of caught my eye, and it had to do with Google's new Pixel camera. And here's the This is from The Verge, and here's what the article headline says. Google says that the Pixel has the best smartphone camera ever. And then here's the proof. So, of course, I'm going to read it. I'm going to check it out, see what it's all about. And so I started reading it, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then I was like, DxOMark. Who the heck is DxOMark? And they gave him a score of 89. So I was like, huh, I'll look into him. I'm like, this is pretty cool. And so, Matt, have you heard of DxOMark?
My answer to that would be, who hasn't?
Apparently me. I'm going to get the chat room, and I know that probably Greg knows about it. And maybe even Dave, but guys, go ahead and let us know if you guys have ever heard of DxOMark, and we'll get a we'll get a consensus. But tell, if you've heard about them, tell the listeners. I knew Greg would. Greg says, yep. Tell the listeners what DxOMark is and what they do.
Well, I don't know what they started out as, but basically they test sensors and lenses for cameras, and they basically rank them based off different criteria. So like for a sensor, they test ISO sensitivity, they test noise, like, you know, how much or how little noise are in like shadow areas of a picture, and what does that noise look like? Is it like distracting color noise, or is it just more like grain that kind of blends into the picture real nicely? And they also test the color sensitivity of the sensors. And I can't really explain like how they do this or exactly like what it is that they're doing to like give the sensors a score. It basically has to do with a bunch of crazy math equations that I don't really understand. You know, they test all these things, and then they give the sensor a score. And then for like lenses, they test things like the sharpness of a lens, how much distortion does the lens give, you know, an image, how much light passes through the lens, so the light transmission, does the lens have any noticeable vignetting, and then they test also like for chromatic aberrations, which, you know, that's a problem on lesser quality lenses. And basically right. What that is, it's just, someone doesn't know, a chromatic aberration is just where, maybe two different wavelengths of light don't get focused at the exact same point. So you'll notice it in, maybe pictures that have, a very distinct, line between a dark tone and a bright tone. Right where those two tones meet, you might notice maybe like a magenta colored fringe or a cyan colored fringe.
That'd be like a chromatic aberration, right?
That's a chromatic aberration. Yeah. That just means that wavelength of light, was the lens wasn't able to focus it at the exact same point as all the other wavelengths of light. So obviously that's something that's not desirable. So, you know, they test for that kind of stuff, and lenses that don't exhibit that trait get a better score in that area. And, so that's what they do. And then, they also, I believe they have like a raw editor, I think. I'm pretty sure. I'm spacing really? On what it's called at the moment. And DxO also produces that camera called the DxO-1 that came out like, I don't know, a year or two ago. It's that little camera that has a lightning connector, and it's like a 20 megapixel sensor. And, you know, you're basically using your phone then as a viewfinder, but it plugs right in.
Yeah, Greg in the chat room said they make an attachment for the iPhone that takes photos in RAW, and yep, it has
that's the DX01.
It has a f/1.8 maximum aperture and 20.2 megapixel sensor. Cool.
Yes. So basically, the higher the score that a sensor gets, then the better that is.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, like, if you were to look at, let's say, well, you could even take the Google Pixel phone and then the iPhone 7 Plus. I think that Pixel, I think, I don't know if you said this yet, but I believe it got a score of 89.
They just did the 7. The Plus, they haven't reviewed yet.
Oh, the 7? Okay. Yeah. I think the 7 got a score of 86.
Yes.
Now, if you were to look at images from those two cameras, maybe if you had both of them and you took the same picture from the same point, would you really notice a difference in image quality? That's the thing with these scores. Yeah. It's like, how much do they really mean?
So if you guys go to our show notes, I put a link to the iPhone 7 review and the Pixel review. And I picked an image that they took. It has an array of colors, shapes, pictures, $5 bill, color palettes, and all that in the images. And you can actually open up two browsers next to each other and browser tabs. And then if you put those two images in the center of your screen, you can flip back and forth and see that there is quite a big difference between the two cameras. And it seemed like the Pixel smartphone had a much more higher temperature, and they had it increase they increased the saturation when you take the images compared to the iPhone, which seems a little darker and a little bit more toned down. But, you know, with editing or, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, you can make those changes to either images. It's just these are straight native shots. And, you know, so, you know, back and forth, you can see the difference between those images and whether you like them. It seems like there's more of an HDR look to the Pixel compared to the iPhone 7. But they do go into detail. The nice thing is that it looks like they keep everything about the same so that they keep the quality of the testing, that there's no manipulation between scenes or anything like that. So they have their set of requirements that they're doing and making sure that when they test each one of these cameras out, each one of these smartphones or lenses, that they have a control and they're not, you know, going off and, oh yeah, we went to this place and, you know, I took a picture outside, but, you know, it was a cloudy day. So, you know, it could have been slightly brighter or slightly darker, depending on if a cloud was getting close to the sun or whatever. You know, this is mostly indoors, but then they have some outdoor shots that they do. But I think the indoors is more of a control, but let's see. And, let's see if there was anything else. Yeah, so they have outdoor, indoor. They do motion. They do check for HDR. You know, they test each camera's HDR. So if you take a chance, if you get a chance, be sure to look at it. And you know, there's a lot of technical stuff, and some people like technical stuff, and you can read more into it. But, you know, I thought this was pretty neat. And of course, I said, hey, Matt, have you heard this? He goes, yeah, you have it? I'm like, no. I've never seen this company before, but we've had some very interesting opinions in the chat about this this particular company. I think some of them don't like it, or they said it's just a waste of time, and then others are like talking about different things. But let us know what you guys think of it, because I think, to be honest, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to, you know, at least see what they have to say, because, you know, they do get into very technical detail. And but like I said earlier, you know, an image is an image, you know, for us photographers, because we can manipulate, we can desaturate, we can add saturation, we can add vignetting, we can change a whole lot of things to our images. But when it comes to your, you know, your everyday person who doesn't think about making those manipulations, this might be important. You know, those pictures actually do look good, you know, and so they may choose one over the other. It just, you never know. So, do you have any other thoughts on this?
No, not really. I haven't had a chance to really dive too much into this this phone from Google. I mean, I think just the sample images that I've seen, I think they look real good, and they seem like they have, you know, good dynamic range and nice color and everything like that. So I'm not surprised that it got a good score from DxO. I'll just now be interested a little bit more to see how the iPhone 7 Plus kind of compares to it.
How it scores. Well, let me read the two paragraphs that The Verge did actually put in their article. It says, Google spent a healthy chunk of time on its Pixel smartphone event on Tuesday touting the new device's camera, with product VP Brian Rakowski going so far as to call it the best smartphone camera anyone has ever made, with a DxO Mark score of 89. To back up that bold claim, camera lead Isaac Reynolds posted a number of photos taken with either the Pixel or the larger Pixel XL. According to comments on Reynolds' posts from official Google employees, some of the shots were taken by a number of Google's own engineering team. Examining EXIF data proves the photos were taken with one of the two devices, yet Fandroid, I guess that's a another site. Yet, as Fandroid points out, about half of them did receive some type of post-processing with either the Snapseed or VSCO mobile editing apps. Still, it's impressive. It's an impressive selection of photos that shows off the Pixel's versatility in number of different lighting and color situations. And it says, check them out. Now, what DxO did was they took their own photos. They didn't use any of the photos that Google had posted as an example. So take a look at the Verge's site, and they have links to those images, and then I'll have links also to the iPhone 7 and the Pixel smartphone camera, and look for yourself and see what the differences are. I think there is quite a difference in the way the images look straight out of the camera, and I think it'll be worth reading. So,
cool.
All right. Well, I think we should go ahead and move into post pick of the week.
Let's do it.
Post pick of the week.
All right. So this week's, actually last 2 weeks, post pick of the week is tools. Matt's probably like, oh, good. We're done with it.
I'll never admit to that.
Yeah. He always gave me a hard time when I'd bring it up. All right. I thought it was actually a pretty good, we got some pretty good results. We had a lot of very cool entries, but one in particular really jumped out at me, and I like it really a whole lot. And this is an image called Throwing Sparks, and Christopher Hannigan had posted it in the Facebook group, and he took it with his iPhone 6 and he edited it with Snapseed. And what he has is he has a rotary tool that is hitting some metal, and it is throwing sparks in all directions. And I have to say, it is pretty cool because some of those sparks are moving so fast that they are creating laser type lines coming off the wheel, and even the wheel itself with the amount of metal that is being shaved off is still touching the wheel. It is making that wheel glow. So I love the concept. There is an awesome depth of field to it. The sparks in the back are out of focus, while the ones in front are crystal clear and sharp, and it just adds the light from the sparks really adds to the image. So, what are your thoughts on it, Matt?
No, I pretty much agree with everything you said. It's cool to see like basically a picture of a tool in use.
Yeah,
you know. Rather than like the tool kind of like as a product shot or like a still life kind of thing.
Like what I did. That,
what's that?
Like what I did.
I didn't even see your picture.
Oh, yeah.
But
mine's
yeah,
below
like,
it.
Look, sure, it's, like what you did.
It's about 6 or 7 below it.
Gotcha. But yeah, I definitely thought that was cool. It reminded me a little bit of a photo that I did. Well, I don't know. It was a couple years ago now, where I took a shot of a dude welding.
Oh yes, that's right.
And I got like some of that kind of spark effect with the sparks flying or whatever. Yeah. So. Definitely a cool picture.
Yeah, it's very cool. All right. Well, congratulations, Christopher. You are our post pick of the week for this week. And it's a very awesome image. If you would be like, man, I can't even talk. If you would like to be chosen as post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and look for our post that is pinned to the top, and it is where we do our weekly photo challenge, and we go through and pick a winner out of the group, and we use it for our album art and our Facebook cover photo, and it's a great way to highlight our listeners' work and show the awesome work that you guys do. All the images are pretty sweet for the most part. And we do sometimes we have a hard time picking just one. But then also we've also been going to our Instagram feed, hashtag Tiny Shutter, and every once in a while we will pick one from the well and use that as our album art. So be sure that if you are on Instagram, use the hashtag Tiny Shutter, and it will be added to the 30,000+ images that we already have in there. And who knows, it may be chosen as post pick of the week. All right. Well, let's go ahead and choose our next weekly photo challenge. So do you have any ideas, Matt, for us?
Not specifically. I was looking at some of the comments in the Facebook group, and I do like a couple of these here. I like Greg McMillan's suggestion of shooting into the sunlight.
Ooh, okay.
Or sun or light, I guess, is what he meant. I do like Craig Ellis's suggestion of early morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we did. I think we did like shooting into the sunlight. We did like a backlit. Yeah. So
We did that just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I like early morning. Let's check with the chat room and see what they.
They don't wake up before 11 or 12.
Well, you know, the sun is taking a lot longer to come up. So who knows? They could have, if they live at the northern hemisphere, now's about the time when probably the sun will start to rise at 11 or 12.
Yeah, we're getting the pushback I expected.
Yeah. Bill says, does that mean I have to get up early? Okay. So they say early morning is good. So I say it is too. So we will do early morning.
And I would say that Dave asked us to define early morning, define early. I'll tell you what, you define early and just, you know, you post a picture of what you consider early morning. So, you know, I don't know, humor me. Show me a picture of your early morning breakfast that you're having at 2 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. And, you know, we can't. I was going to say, we can check the EXIF data and see when it was shot, but. Facebook clears all the EXIF data out. So, all right. I think we have ourselves a show. Do you have anything else that you wanted to bring up?
If anybody is like a licensed massage therapist, please come to Ohio. Come to my house. Help my back.
Yeah, that sucks. All right, let's go ahead and do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Okay, I'm going to change this up slightly.
Ooh.
I am going to omit Flickr. Don't hit me up on Flickr.
Yeah. Because
I literally never visit it anymore, so just don't try to connect with me there. But you can check me out. Most definitely on Instagram and a little bit on IM and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Nice. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes, and all the links to our Facebook and YouTube channels by going to tinyshutter.com. And also, we have a Patreon, so if you would like to donate to the show, go to our – I got to make sure it's on our website. Go to our website and look for it there. All right. I think we are done. So why don't you say goodnight to everybody, Matt?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
I thought you were dead.
Oh, no. I told you. Well, I fibbed a little bit, but don't be mad.
Your behavior is completely inappropriate.